May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from. May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala khatamin nabiyyin. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, welcome to another wonderful and inspiring episode of the silsila Spiritual Cures. Wherever you may be in the world, whichever hemisphere, whichever country, whichever city you may be in, we hope that you and your family are safe and sound. A reminder for all of us that when we are making dua for ourselves, our family, our community, then remember the ummah as well. Make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, that for the sake of His beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi wa Alihi Wasallam, who is the final and last Prophet, that He Azza wa Jal grants relief to the Ummah, grants cure, shifa, to those who are sick and suffering from whatever type of ailment, and grants protection against the oppressors. Well, today as well, we have a number of calls, questions with regards to different types of problems. So stay tuned. Who knows? Maybe you are experiencing these difficulties, these problems that we will be discussing tonight, along with the wadaif, the litanies, invocations as well. Or perhaps you may know somebody who's going through these problems and you can share it with them. So it's handy to have a journal, a diary, and to write down the important Madani pearls of advices, the wada'if and invocations, and use that as a reference book for yourself, for your family, and share it with others as well. With good intentions, you will earn reward. As it is mentioned, that ink is the best memory. The beloved master, the final prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi wa Alihi Wasallam, has stated, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. How about we make some good intentions? Then, Ya Allah, I am watching, I am listening to the silsila for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of your beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi wa Alihi Wasallam. What I learn, I will try to practice and share with others as well. Insha'Allahul Kareem. Time is fast. Life is short. The past is gone and cannot be changed. The future is uncertain. What matters is the now, is the present. It's not how long you live, it's how you live. So that's a question for you and I, that how am I living this short, precious life? In obedience to my Creator, my Sustainer, Azza wa Jal, the one to whom I'm going to return to sooner than I realize. It's going to happen all of a sudden when we get the visit from the angel of death, alayhi salam. Why am I living my life heedlessly as a hedonist, just pursuing pleasures? Who's going to have the regret? Me. I will have the regret. And there's no coming back to this world. Once we're gone, it's over. So the wise person, the intelligent and smart person, will use this short, precious life to adequately prepare for comfort in the grave and salvation on the Day of Judgment through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we prepare? By reconnecting to the glorious Quran. Recite the Quran Sharif every day. His Eminence Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al Aliyah, the founder of Dawud Islami, a great saint and scholar of Islam that is followed by tens of millions around the world, advises us, start with 3 verses of the Quran Sharif. But every day, go over the translation from Kanzul Iman, the commentary from Miftahul Ihsan, so we have a proper understanding of what my Lord, my sustainer, my creator, Azza wa Jal, is telling me? What kind of guidance he is giving me? What do's and don'ts that he's telling me about every day? Recite large amounts of salawat, durud-e-paak, istighfar, dhikrullah, and make sincere tawbah. Repent sincerely every day. For today could be your very last day. Every day, do your best to abstain from sins, to be punctual with your salahs, perform them correctly, fulfill rights of others, learn and practice the sunnah, learn a dua for the day or something of deen for the day, and create this mindset that how best can I live this short, precious life to please my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the end of the day, we are going to return to Him. We are going to answer for what we did, what we said, what we saw and what we heard as well. Everything is recorded in the book of records, Nama A'mal, our book of deeds. So think before we do anything, before we say anything, that is it beneficial or not? There's so many wonderful blessings for reciting Salat ala Nabi Durud Pak. The one who recites Durud Sharif 1,000 times daily. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wa sallam has said that this person will not die until he sees his place in Jannah, in paradise. We all want to be included amongst those who are privileged and fortunate that before I leave this world, I'm shown my place in paradise. Paradise, heaven, Jannah is not cheap. Because there's everlasting, eternal pleasure and happiness. We have to work here for the hereafter. We will request our wonderful director sub and team to please go ahead with the first call for today. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Maulana Saab, hope you're keeping well. My question is, how can bed bugs be prevented? Jazakallah.
Ameen wa iyyakum. MashaAllah Azawajal. A very good question that so many people are suffering from. I remember one of the countries I visited through a qafila of Dawat Islami. And it was a major challenge. For me, it was the first time I experienced this thing. And I think bed bugs are even more troublesome than mosquitoes for some people or for many people. And it was a real challenge. But what's the main cause of bed bugs? Now, bed bugs, they enter our homes by hitchhiking on items like used furniture, luggage, clothing. They are also carried between apartments in a multi-unit building and can also spread through public transportation and other places that people frequent, such as motels, hotels, shelters. What attracts them? They are attracted to carbon dioxide. We exhale carbon dioxide. This attracts bed bugs. Along with that, body heat and odors from human beings, which is why they are found in places where people sleep or rest. What are some of the initial signs of bed bugs? If you see rusty or reddish stains on bed sheets or mattresses, this could be that bed bugs have been crushed, and so you'll find dark spots which are also excrements of bed bugs, and they may bleed on the fabric like a marker. If you put a marker on your, I'm not saying do this, but if you were to put a marker on your bed sheet or mattress, similar to that, you'll find those reddish stains, rusty type of stains, that color. If you see you may even see eggs or eggshells which are about a millimeter big. and pale yellow skins that the nymphs, they shed as they grow larger. Do you know what smells? Bed bugs hate. Okay. So bed bugs do not like strong smells, particularly from essential oils like peppermint, tea tree, lavender, eucalyptus, clove, citrus. These smells, if we were to spray it on our bed, then these are temporary deterrents. They're not reliable for completely eliminating a bed bug infestation. If you do have an infestation, then of course, professional extermination is often necessary. Are bed bugs attracted because of poor hygiene? Well, according to the experts, this is not the case. They are actually attracted to warmth, blood, carbon dioxide, not dirt or grime. Even the cleanest homes or hotels can become infested, especially if bed bugs are brought through luggage or second-hand items. Their main weakness is their vulnerability to high temperatures. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Some people feel that, hey, you know, I wish I could go stay in a hotel. But be careful. Many a times, they don't even change the bed sheets or the blankets. And there's a bed bug infestation. Those bed bugs could hop onto your clothing, your luggage, your baggage. You could end up taking that home and then there's an infestation in the home. Now, there's a very wonderful thing to be done for removal. Remember, along with what I'm going to share, if you need to call professionals in to remove the infestation, do that as well. You can try this out. And inshallah al-kareem, it will have positive benefits. Take some karam seeds. It's called ajwain. Karam seeds in a bag. Tie it up and tie it to the leg of your bed. Each one, or place it at the bottom where the legs would go, around the four corners of your bed. Allah willing, this will also help to get rid of bed bugs. One more thing I want to share with you, inshallah, sawajal. Take a new bowl. Now this is very good, not just for bed bugs, but to protect your home against ants, lizards, mice, cockroaches, and of course bed bugs as well. Take a new bowl. Take a marker, a pen, and write in that bowl, in Arabic, Ya Wali. In Arabic, Ya Alif, Waw Alif, Lam Ya. Ya Wali. You don't need to write the harakat, the zabr, zair, and pesh, fatha, dhamma, kasra, just the letters themselves. So Ya Wali, write that on a new bowl, and then you're going to put some water into this bowl. But be careful that the water must not spill over onto the floor. So as a precaution, place a cloth underneath the bowl. So if any water does spill over, then it will be absorbed by the cloth. Once you do this, take the bowl and sprinkle some water on the doors of your home, on the walls of your home as well. Inshallah al-Kareem, your home will be protected against ants, lizards, mice, cockroaches, and bed bugs. If somebody has itchy skin for whatever reason, maybe from bed bugs, maybe from mosquitoes, or a rash, and nothing seems to be working out, no ointment, no treatments, then do the following. I will mention the verse, inshallah azza wa jal, but this needs to be recited, and then do dam, blow over the areas that are affected, that are itching, that you have the rash. You may need to ask somebody else to recite it if you have a rash behind you, or at a place where you cannot reach. You cannot do dam there. So that verse of Surah Mu'minun, Verse 14 is أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فكسونا العظام لحما ثم أنشأناه خلقا آخر فتبارك الله أحسن الخالقين سورة مؤمنون verse 14 recite this and do them blow over the area where the skin is itchy or where you have the rash Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, relief will be found. Can we go ahead with the next call, please? Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
What can be done or read for someone suffering from body pain? Jazakum Allahu khaira.
Ameen wa iyaakum. Body pains. So common nowadays. Different types of body pains. People have pains in their arms, their fingers. Their face, their body, their stomach, their abdomen, their back, legs. Way doesn't pain. Allahu Akbar. What causes body pains? It's according to the circumstances of the individual. But there are certain things that doctors have identified that could cause or be the cause of body pains. Take for example, acute injuries. Poor posture, stress, yes, stress as well, intense exercise, flu, chronic conditions like arthritis. So of course, treatment will depend on the cause. It may include some gentle exercise, stress management, hydration. If pains are severe, if they are persistent, then it's important to go to your doctor. So he can give you a proper diagnosis. Regarding stress, it's mentioned in a narration. The person who worries too much, because stress is here, it's a mental thing. The one who worries too much, who has too much of anxiety, it affects his body. So the mental health, if it is affected, it will negatively affect the physical health, the medical health of an individual. So yes, though many of us live quite stressful lives, but we need to manage it. If we let it seep into our hearts and our minds, if we don't release, if we do not live a balanced life, it's going to cause havoc in our minds, our hearts, our body, in the form of body pains as well. See, there's three areas we need to look after. We need to develop. And by developing these three areas in particular, a person will live an optimal life, the maximum benefit in this short life. Which are those three areas? Physical health, mental health, and spiritual health. We must make sure we're eating the correct things, that we're living an active life, not sitting at the desk for hours on end, without stretching, without walking. In fact, His Eminence Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatuhu Al-Aliyah has given such wonderful advice that every day do some walking for a minimum of 45 minutes. If you can do this every day, Islamic sisters can do this in the comfort of their homes, in the passage, the dining area, in the room. For the first 15 minutes, take a brisk walk, a fast walk. The next 15 at your normal pace, and the last 15, a brisk walk again. Break out a sweat. That's good. It's healthy. But whilst walking, you can engage in dhikrullah, Quran-e-Pak, Durud-e-Pak, istighfar. Put on your earphones. Listen to the weekly audiobook. Listen to the recitation of the glorious Quran. Listen to kalams and Naat Sharif with good intentions. So you're gaining physical benefit, mental benefit, and spiritual benefit as well by earning good deeds. Why mental benefit? Because automatically you are going to feel much better, much more positive, because you are doing something productive. It's a form of exercise. Without getting a membership at the gym or gymming equipment, which can be quite expensive, in the comfort of your home. So on average, a person for those 15 minutes in that way, 15, 15, 15, on average, a person would be walking around 5,000 steps. If you can do this twice a day at two different intervals, it would be ideal. Because the experts out there advise that try walking a minimum of 10,000 steps every day, which will be very beneficial for the individual. So mental health is actually more important than physical health. Because if a person is depressed, negative, skeptical, always pessimistic, it's going to affect them. They won't want to do anything then. So clean up your mental state. Become more productive. Become more positive. And by doing things like this, by being firm on your daily salahs, imagine every day you're making sure your five daily salahs are in order, you're fulfilling rights of everybody, you're reading Quran every day, Durud Sharif, Istighfar, you're making sincere tawbah. If you can, give some charity, help uplift somebody who's downtrodden. These things are going to, they're going to give you a positive, it's called PMA, a positive mental attitude. And most important is one's spiritual health. And for that, Dawood Islami has provided us, His Eminence Amir Ahl-Sunnah, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, has provided us with what we call Nek A'mal, pious deeds, which you fill out every single day, and you do your best to act upon it, and you monitor your progress. So physical health, mental health, and spiritual health. If a person is experiencing pains in the arms or the legs, write the following down or get it written down on a clean piece of paper 786 times. 786 times on a clean piece of paper, write down, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. 786 times, it needs to be written on a clean piece of paper and then fold it up, plastic coat it, put it in a material or leather and wear it like a ta'weel, like an amulet around the neck or the arm, wherever you are comfortable. Inshallah al-Kareem, the pain in the arms, in the legs will be removed. This is also very good to ward off the influence of evil eyes. Subhanallah. For a person who has backaches, stomach pains, sciatica problems, very common nowadays, or any type of pain anywhere in the body, recite 7 times, Ya Muhyi, Ya Muhyi, Ya Muhyi, Ya Alif, Mim, Ha, Ya, Ya, Ya Muhyi, 7 times, and do them on oneself. Blow onto oneself. Inshallah al-Kareem, the backache, the stomach pains, sciatica pains, or any type of pain will be removed through the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But continue this every day until the pain is cured. Specifically for back problems, backaches, because today many people are suffering with back issues, lower back problems. Recite Surah Al-Fatiha 41 times, each time with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Between the Sunnah and the Fard of Salatul Fajr, Inshallah Al-Kareem, the back aches, back pains will be gone through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. And this you continue till recovery. If one is suffering from pains in the knees, the joints, or anywhere in the body, then continuously recite, Ya Ghaniyu, Ya Ghaniyu, Ya Ghaniyu. Inshallah al-Kareem, some relief will be found. For abdominal pains, recite the following ayah of the glorious Quran and do dam in some water and give the affected person to drink. What is to be recited? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. أَوَلَمْ يَرَ الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ نُطَفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ Surah Yasin Sharif, verse 77. Recite this to them, blow into some water and give the affected person to drink, inshallah al-kareem, the abdominal pains will be removed. For pains in any part of the body, after salah, recite the following verse of the Holy Quran 7 times and do dam, blow into your both hands and then rub the hands over the area that is paining. The pain will recede, inshallah azza wa jal. This you can find in the glorious Quran, Suratul Hashr, verse 21. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون سورة الحشر verse 21. Recite this after salah 7 times, do dam, blow into the hands and then rub over, massage over the area of pain. Inshallah al-Kareem, the pain will be removed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good health and remove whatever pains that we have of whatever type. Inshallah al-Kareem. Please go ahead with the next call. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Maulana sahib, hope you are keeping well, Hazrat. My question for today is, you may get some people who are habitual of using obscene language. What kind of impact does this have on their life and how can they remove this? Barakallah, jazakumullah.
Well, this is a common issue that we see. It wasn't like this perhaps a few decades back, but it's increasing. Obscenity, vulgarism, dirty words, foul words, swear words. We even see some so-called influencers on social media. It almost seems like if they do not use foul, dirty language, they cannot express themselves properly. I don't know if that's the case, but it shows how intelligent they are. A true believer will not engage in obscene, foul, dirty language, because he knows whatever comes out from this mouth is recorded, is written down, and is used as evidence, or it's going to be used as testimonies and evidence against me on the Day of Judgment, when I'm going to be called. Every single one of us is going to be called out. And we're going to stand there in front of everybody. Our book of deeds is going to be handed to us. اقرأ كتابك. We are going to be ordered. No choice. Read your book. What you did, what you said, what you saw, what you heard. Read out now. How embarrassing. How disgraceful for that person who fills his book of deeds with lies, with obscenities. In fact, some people, they've become addicted to this. It's become part of who they are, like a habit. And keep this in mind. Dirty words, filthy deeds come from the inside, from a dirty mind. This is completely against taqwa and haya, modesty, which Islam emphasizes. Taqwa is piety. If a person has true fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of His punishment, he will be so careful what he does and what he says. Scholars have mentioned very beautifully that before you say anything, weigh it. before you do anything, wait, think about it first. Then what I'm about to do, what I'm about to say, will this lead to the pleasure or displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How will it be written down in my book of deeds? As something good or bad? Will it bring me to disgrace or honor on the day of judgment? Will it take me on the pathway to heaven or hell? So very quickly think about these things. If it's all positive, go ahead with good intentions. If it's negative, squash it up and throw it in the bin. It's not good for you. It's not wholesome and healthy for you. It's going to be there against you. We are living in an age of profanity. Like there's no tomorrow. Like there's no accountability. Like there's no qiyamah. Like we're not going to read our books and be judged on the day of judgment. So a person who genuinely wants to change needs to put in great efforts to break this filthy habit of verbal abuse, of spewing out dirty, filthy, impure words. And dua. Make dua. Dua is a weapon of a believer. It is the essence of ibadah. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in whose control is everything. Make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid you, to help you, to break this bad habit. Our greatest role model, the final Prophet of Allah Azawajal, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never ever hurt the feelings of any Muslim. He never teased anybody. He never swore anybody. He never made a joke of anybody. He never pushed anybody away. He never insulted anybody. He treated everyone with affection. He brought them close to him to train them, to teach them, to guide them. The final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi." A Muslim is he from whose tongue and hand other Muslims are not harmed. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also said, a believer is not the one who taunts, curses, indulges in indecent talks and speaks rudely. Hakim al-Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, has mentioned regarding that blessed hadith that the mentioned faults are not found in true believers, in true Muslims. Not looking at one's own faults, finding faults with other Muslims, reproaching everyone, are against the dignity of Islam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also stated, he who has hurt a Muslim has hurt me, and he who has hurt me has displeased Allah azza wa jal. It's necessary for us to refrain from foul language. Every time that a person wants to use some foul languages, do this according to your currency. Keep a little jar. And say, every time I'm going to use a swear word, I'm going to give maybe 5 rand or £5, dollars, rands, whatever it is. Whatever is easy for you, I'm going to deposit it into that jar. And the end of the week, end of the month, I'm going to give it to the masjid as a sadaqah. The person who wants to get rid of obscene languages should recite the following 90 times. Do dump on an empty glass and then drink only from that cup. Inshallah al-Kareem. The habit of using obscene languages will phase out. 90 times. Ya Hamidu, Ya Hamidu, Ya Hamidu. Practice upon this, inshallah al-Kareem, it will have a positive effect on your life, on your mind, on your tongue, on your heart as well. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from. May Allah heal you from whatever whatever pain you are suffering from.